readily confess to you tonight that I need the Lord, need His inspiration and anointing upon His Word tonight, and ask for your prayers. I do, thank you. Yes, sir. I'd like to consider the thought of our habitation. And I want to begin in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Deuteronomy 32, and beginning in the 9th verse. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Speaking of Israel as a nation, it says that the Lord found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about and He instructed him. I want to, when you think about a wilderness or a desert place, it's what you would think of as being inhospitable to life, maybe uninhabitable. I've enjoyed spending time and driving through the state of Utah and the diversity of landscape and a very unique landscape that you see in that state. But it's a very arid state, and there are large expanses of the land that I don't see houses and I don't see farms. I don't see big green fields that are planted. It's not very hospitable to being able to grow crops and things of that nature. There are large portions of this earth's surface that are not inhabited. Of course, about 70% of it's covered by water, and of the remaining 30%, the majority of it is considered very inhospitable to life because of climate, snow and ice and or elevation of the land, etc., or how dry, it is, such as the desert, makes it very hard to sustain life. Well, this says of the nation of Israel that the Lord found them in such a place. The wilderness of Sinai was known as being such a place. It was a harsh landscape. It was a barren and a lonely landscape. Such was called a waste, howling wilderness. You know, it's a picture of something more than just the land that they were passing through, but of the condition of a soul. What's our habitation like tonight? You know, the Lord has something better for us than to live in an old, dried up, parched, barren, lonely wilderness landscape. The Lord has something better for us than that. The Scripture says in Jeremiah of this land that it was a land that was full of deserts and pits of drought and of the shadow of death, and that no man passed through it or dwelt therein. It doesn't much sound like a place I'd want to spend my life. The very fact that Israel spent as much time as they did, of course, was due to their own unbelief. It should have been a quick journey. But the very fact that life was sustained in such a place like that was a divine miracle. The Lord had to provide water for them out of the rock. He had to provide manna for them to be able to eat. He had to sustain so many aspects of their life in such an environment as that. But the Lord found them there. And he had a place for him to go. That wasn't to be their ultimate destination. I want us to take a step back now. Beyond specific regions of our earth, and look at the vast expanse beyond. It blows my mind very quickly when I look out into the night sky and I consider, like David said, Lord, what is man that you're mindful of him? When I look at the universe, the skies and the stars and the galaxies that we have hints of, and just in looking in the sky, that the Lord is mindful of mankind. Well, I've never been there. But I had the opportunity to meet Colonel Jeff Williams, who was an astronaut. He spent in total, at one time, over a year on the International Space Station. Several different visits to the ISS. And he came and related to a group of us his experiences. And it was fascinating to me. He shared his experiences and he shared his photos that he had taken. He was talking about how man is trying so hard to be able to go visit Mars. The next frontier, man calls it, the place that they want to be able, they've sent a rover and want to be able to send mankind. And they're trying so hard, and the reason why they have to try so hard is because it is so inhospitable to life. The best that we understand. I can't give you a first-hand account of it. I'm thankful I've not been there. But space around us, the best that we can understand, is near absolute zero in temperature, where the sun's not shining in the shade, scorching in temperature, where the sun is shining. It's a vacuum filled with lethal radiation. Air and water can't naturally exist in it. Very building blocks of life. A very hospitable, lonely expanse of space. You know, in the middle of that, God said, "Let there be." And he created a world that is unique in all of his creation. And he created an environment, and he created the mountains, and he created the oceans, and all the creatures that live within it. And he created an environment, a habitation for mankind that is perfectly suited for life. If you look at some of the other planets in our solar system, if you'll just bear with me for a little bit as we consider and try to paint a picture of this. See if you'd like to live here. Neptune, thought to be about 330 degrees below zero, with 1,200 mile per hour winds, clouds of frozen methane. Or Venus, thick carbon dioxide surrounding the planet like a blanket, keeping temperatures at a toasty 900 degrees Fahrenheit. An atmospheric pressure 90 times that of our planet. You think life would survive very long? And so much of the money that is invested in space programs is trying to explore, could there be life? Has there ever been life? Looking for even a trace of water that could exist. Well, Colonel Williams said, in all of my time going around this planet and looking at it and observing it, said, I saw the handiwork of a designer, of a creator. This wasn't accidental. Every 90 minutes going around this globe, he said, I was able to see such intricate handiwork of God, to testify of our Creator. He said, while man is planning so hard and searching for life, this is it. Right here on this planet, perfectly suited for life. It wouldn't take very much variation. The tilt of Earth's axis, the distance from the sun. By the way, chance? I don't have the faith for it. I'm thankful to be able to know the Almighty Creator who wanted to create a habitat for His creation. He didn't create it, even like our moon, barren, desolate. But you look at the beauty that He's created in this world for our enjoyment and pleasure and to glorify our Creator. You know what makes the difference between our home and those other planetary bodies? Well, it was the will and the plan of God. But the atmosphere that He's created around this planet, the elements that I mentioned a moment ago that make life so impossible outside of this planet, God has created an atmosphere surrounding this planet that buffers it, that protects it from all of those harmful elements. It's thought that if we didn't have the atmosphere that we have, our planet would really be no different than others that we see. Nighttime temperatures would likely drop to close to 300 degrees below zero if you thought we've been cold this month. Daytime temperature would soar to over 250 degrees. Over 500 degree temperature swing from day to night. You know the kind of thermal stresses that would induce in buildings and structures and the very cell membranes of living organisms couldn't withstand the pressure. Bodies of water, be it streams and rivers and lakes, would boil by day and freeze by night. You know the Lord knew just what He was doing. And unfiltered radiation that would reach this planet would not sustain life very long. But this atmosphere that the Lord has created around our world has just the right pressure, just the right temperature to permit water and oxygen and the atmosphere and the environment around us to be perfectly suited for life. Clouds and weather to help regulate temperature. Sure, it gets hot. There are areas of our planet that are not hospitable to life. But what a home God's created. Part of our atmosphere and its design is to filter out that the most harmful radiation from reaching this planet. To provide a shield against meteors from being able to reach the surface of our planet for the most part. Well, I'm interested tonight in more than our planet, as much as it testifies to the handiwork of God. I want to think about our spiritual habitation. Where we live. The reality of where you and I are tonight. What's the habitation like? Is it barren? Is it desolate? Is it a waste, howling wilderness? I want us to realize tonight that we are surrounded by an inhospitable environment. It's not conducive to spiritual life. This world in which we live will not promote godliness in our life. If we reflect the world around us as we naturally will without the Lord's help, we won't be able to live in an environment like this. Just like outer space is not designed to support our life, Folks, this world is not designed for us to live like the world. Now, I want to get into more scripture. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, Luke 10 and the third verse, "Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." That's the world that I'm sending you out into. John chapter 17. John 17, beginning in the 11th verse. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Yes. Folks, the Lord puts so much into the design of our earthly home to protect us from the harmful impact and influences of the inhospitable environment and atmosphere of space all around us. And in the middle of that created a perfect habitation for us. Folks, no matter how dark this world, no matter how inhospitable your workplace, your school, your environment where you live, folks, the Lord has a place to be able to keep our souls, to be able to preserve us, to be able to create an environment and an atmosphere in which I can not only survive, but thrive in the things of God. You know, one of the things that this atmosphere does for us, I mentioned the expected temperature swings that we would see. But whenever heat comes in and the earth is warmed by our sun, you know, the atmosphere holds that temperature in. What about spiritually? You know, I believe the Lord is interested in extending the longevity or the shelf life of camp meeting experiences. Where I get a hold of something from the Lord. The Lord visits me and I'm on fire for the Lord, and I go back into the workplace. I go back to school. I go back to living life. And just as quickly, I lose it again. Until next camp meeting, if folks, never be ashamed to come to an altar of prayer. To come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I have a need in my soul." But folks, the Lord has a plan for us to be able to sustain spiritual life, to be able to keep us steadfast despite the influences that are around us. The Lord has invested so much. I think of radiation that I've mentioned a couple times. You know that influence or the effects of radiation are not immediately seen. But it can damage us from the inside out. You know, there are influences in the world of which Jesus warned us. There are false prophets. There are false teachers. There's doctrine that is like leaven. Folks, there are philosophies of this world that we are bombarded with. I remember when I was going to school and when I went to college, and I remember him trying to reprogram and recalibrate the way I think. Folks, we've got to be grounded. Yes. Yes. We need something to provide a shield for us, to keep us from becoming a barren wasteland. Just as the Lord provided the atmosphere of this world to protect us, folks, He has a plan to protect us from those influences. Psalms, the 91st chapter. Psalms 91, we'll look at the 9th verse. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If we'll make the Lord our habitation, folks, He'll keep us. He'll preserve us. He'll extend the shelf life. The Lord is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. While the Lord has begun, I'm persuaded that He's able to finish it. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's look at 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter. Second Timothy 1, verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. You know the answer to being up and down? You know the answer to getting help in our souls only to lose it a short while later? We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And folks, you might say, you know, I've sought for it. I've prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep seeking. If you don't, the question is tonight, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? He's able to preserve and to keep that which I've committed unto Him. He's able to moderate the temperature swings. He's able to take that which could destroy me and preserve my soul and life. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. Folks, whatever the environment throws at us, I've got to be able to be regulated. I've got to be able to have something that tempers me, that keeps me, that preserves me in this inhospitable environment. Ephesians 4 and 14 says that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The Lord wants to provide a stability for us in our lives. Think about what was spoken unto Reuben in Genesis, the 49th chapter. Verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Unstable as water. Boiling over with passions, given to the impulses of the flesh, the passions of the natural man. You won't be able to succeed. You're unstable as water. Water, of course, will fill whatever mold into which it's poured. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be that kind of a Christian. To live our lives such that we just fit whatever environment that we're in. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It's going to take a consecration, a commitment. But folks, the Lord wants to take our desert places, cause them to flourish. Flown over areas of Africa where looking out the window for hours while you're flying, you see nothing but sand. And every once in a while, a little ribbon of green. It doesn't look like much of a home in those vast expanses. Folks, the Lord wants to make us at home tonight. I'd like to look in Isaiah now. 58th chapter. We'll read a few different verses here before we close. Isaiah 58 and 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Folks, it doesn't matter how lush the garden, if the atmosphere, if the environment changes, if the protective elements that make it sustainable to life are removed, it'll become like any other desert place. No matter how good and rich of an experience I've had with the Lord, if that thing is not maintained, preserved, and kept, folks, there's nothing inherent to me that's going to make me any different than any other story of shipwreck. But I want us to know tonight as well, when you look out your windows, so to speak, if you see nothing but lonely, vast expanses of nothingness, the Lord wants to change your habitation. You know, one of the main things that's missing in that vast expanse of Africa that I flew over is water. Let's look at Jeremiah here for a moment. 17th chapter, the 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, and shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Is that what I want my front and backyard to look like? That's the man that puts his trust in man, in himself, the ways of sin. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What a difference our habitation makes. When we make the Lord our God our habitation. Well, let's turn back to Isaiah and see what this work is that the Lord does. 51 and 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. Not just an environment where people go and die. But folks, life is here. Joy is here. It's where you'd want to raise your family. Folks, may I recommend to you, I'm standing here, so it's what I'm going to do, the ways of the Lord. Folks, it'll make your life blessed. It'll make your families blessed. It'll give us the very best chance of success. Folks, it matters what we surround ourselves with. It matters what we give ourselves to. There's so many elements around us in this world, so many philosophies of this world that'll strip us bare. You remember what Jesus told Peter? Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, to take out everything of worth and value and beauty and leave you with emptiness. It's what sin does to the life. But the Lord does something about it. The Lord wants to comfort some waste places. To reassure us, I've got a plan. I've got something beautiful. You don't have to settle there. You don't have to be satisfied with that kind of experience. Folks, when we go halfway with the Lord, I'm going to tell you, it's a barren wilderness. Again, the Lord didn't intend for the children of Israel to stay in the wilderness. Remember, it said He led them about. He wanted to lead them out into a place that flowed with milk and honey. But folks, He has a beautiful plan in mind for your life, for your family. No matter the brokenness or the barrenness that you might see, the Lord can take that barrenness and turn it into Eden, the garden of the Lord. The 35th chapter. Isaiah 35 and verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. What a contrast. In a land that's a barren, waste, howling wilderness, where the wild animals roam and nothing much else can survive, the Lord wants to cause right there waters to break out. Waters in your and my life, or in those places of our life that is a waste land. Folks, He wants to cause waters to break forth. What I look at, and maybe I'm so familiar, so accustomed, that land's just not usable. I'm just not like so-and-so. I just can't have the experience that they have. Folks, no matter where you are tonight, the Lord wants to turn your spiritual experience into Eden, into the garden of the Lord, where you can have some flowers planted, where you can have some beauty surrounding you. Folks, salvation was never intended to be a barren wilderness. Living for the Lord was never meant to be an inhospitable, miserable existence. If that's what you found it to be, folks, come hit the rock. And you'll find out of that rock come rivers of living water that'll flow in your wilderness, in your barrenness. Maybe there's barrenness of wilderness waste areas and relationships and homes and marriages and whatever the place is that is devoid of beauty and stripped of goodness. The Lord wants to restore and renew that tonight. He's the answer. I don't know what you think of those pictures of outer space. There's a sort of beauty with it, but to me it's almost a haunting beauty. And I say, thank you, Lord, for the home you've created here. I wouldn't want to live out in that vast, empty, hollow expanse. And folks, the Lord has a habitation of the soul. that is not lonely, barren, and desolate. And He's got a home for us, waiting for the soul beyond this and beyond our imagination. Folks, the beauty that we see in this world, that God created unique to the other planetary bodies in our solar system, for you and for me, testifies to me that God cares about us. He loves us. He didn't just set us here to give us an existence to we just roam around and there's no trees and flowers and streams and butterflies and birds. He created such beauty around us. You think that's not what He intends salvation to be? The beautiful, rich experience for us to enjoy and to be able to thrive in the things of God. Just like that tree when drought comes, because this world is such a barren wilderness, I'll still be able to stay green. I'll still be able to bear fruit in the midst of that. Our environment influences us. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many people will wax cold. It'll have an effect on them. Today I just want to urge us, let's examine my spiritual habitation. Have I been stripped of some things? Do I find some barrenness in places of my life? And do I realize some effects that I didn't even see at first of the philosophies of this world? The Lord wants to restore and renew and give us something beautiful tonight. You pray for me. Amen. Thank you for your time, your patience, and your prayers.